and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Bible, Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work.
Thank you very much. Excellent. And can I just say, you know, I think it blesses the church when the young people do speak up. So I want to say that to all of you guys. And actually, I think there's a lot of truth in what Josh and Jackson said about whether or not we know our spiritual gifts, their answer being no, they don't think they do. Now, it is election week, and just as we're going to be talking about using gifts we've been given, spiritual gifts we've been given, I do also want to encourage you to vote. It's a privilege to live in this country, free country. We're asked to pray for our leaders, to obey our leaders. So, you know, I think part of that is about voting. So just as we're going to talk about using our gifts, please do use your vote this week and make sure you do vote. Okay, so four men are on a plane. Okay, and there's the pilot, there is a Nobel Prize winning scientist, and there's a vicar, and there's a backpacker from Peckham. Okay. And the pilot comes out the cockpit and he says, I've got bad news. The plane is crashing and we've only got three parachutes. And he immediately grabs one parachute and he jumps out. Then the Nobel Prize winning scientist says to the other two, look, the world needs me. I've got incredible gifts. The world needs me. And he grabs the other parachute and he jumps out. So the vicar and the backpacker from Peckham are left. And the vicar says to the backpacker from Peckham, look, I know where I'm going. You can take that final parachute. And the backpacker from Peckham says to the vicar, well, that Nobel Prize winning scientist jumped out the plane with my backpack on his back. So I think we're both good. Now, in the world, very often we can look at people and think that talents in one area, like being a Nobel Prize winning scientist, translate to talents in another area. And actually, it was my conclusion reading this passage today that actually spiritual gifts are not the same as talents, as worldly talents. So Jackson is a very good cyclist, and Josh is a very good footballer. So he tells me. I've never seen him play. But apparently he's a very good footballer. So those are great talents. They're not the same as spiritual gifts. So this passage says that when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and we receive spiritual gifts that are different, that we use to help grow the kingdom of God and be the people who God wants us to be. But they're different from the talent. Now, they may be related. I mean, it's absolutely possible. In fact, as Mike was saying, that the talents you've got, God will grow as and use as spiritual gifts. But very often, they can be very, very different. So what I want to cover today and suggest to you is that we need to know what those spiritual gifts are. We need to grow in those spiritual gifts. And there's a prize for anybody who can guess the third point, given that the first two are know and grow. No, there isn't a prize. But we need to know them, we need to grow in them, and then we need to flow in our use of those spiritual gifts. So starting with know, we need to know our spiritual gifts. The passage said, Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So Paul's saying, I don't want you not to know about these. I want you to know about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. There seems almost to be a connection between using spiritual gifts or following mute idols. So in our society today, mute idols, are things like money, power, sex. Those are the idols, the other things we worship. Then there seems to be a contrast that if we know our spiritual gifts, it helps us not to follow those mute idols. The passage also seems to suggest that actually if we aren't thinking about this, your spiritual gifts can lie dormant. You can simply not use them. And actually, if you look at the history of the church, I think that can be very true. That spiritual gifts, so particularly actually at the moment, the gift of evangelism, I think can lie dormant in the church. There's a debate in the church about tongues and what people often call the miraculous gifts. And I think those can lie dormant, healing, gifts of tongues, prophecy. You know, those gifts can lie dormant if we don't know them. So that brings me on to, can you know your spiritual gifts? Can you really know what your spiritual gifts are? And I do really appreciate the answer of the group, because I think it's not, there's a lot of people, a lot of knowledgeable Christians, biblical scholars would say, you know, would be quite dubious about saying you can specifically know which spiritual gifts you have. And so I, this week, in order to think about this, and we've got a course starting on spiritual gifts on Tuesday week, I think. So we're going to be examining this further. And part of that, we will get you to do a questionnaire if you go on it. I did a questionnaire that's available from Willow Creek to help me see what are my spiritual gifts. And it was quite helpful. I mean, in seeing it, it was quite an aha. You know, some of them I thought, oh, I was quite surprised by what came out top. So I thought that was helpful. But I am nervous about, in an age of self-fulfillment, in which we all want to know more about ourselves and what our purpose is, that if that is driven by a kind of a selfish, I want to see what I'm about, then I'm not sure that helps us understand our spiritual gifts. I also am nervous that if you're doing that questionnaire as I did, it's self-reported. So, of course, what it says your gifts are simply the result of how you've answered those questions. So, if, for example, you are an evangelist, you might be here today as a Christian, you might have a very strong gift of evangelism, but if you don't get the opportunity to use that, you won't know it. And how would you get the opportunity to work out if you're a Christian, if you're in evangelism? Only by going out and sharing the gospel with people. So it's quite possible that unless you start trying things, you fill in that questionnaire, you're not going to say you're an evangelist. Giving, I'd see in a similar way. Giving is another gift. And so, in fact, if we just bring up the list of gifts now. So these are from the passages at the bottom, the Bible talks on this. Won't be, I'm not saying I've got this list absolutely right, and I'm not going to talk about all of them, but these are the ones that Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians mention. So there are lots of spiritual gifts, but some of them you would only know, under leadership, you might say church planting is a gift. You won't a spiritual gift, that kind of leading of a church to plant a new church. You wouldn't know you've got that gift unless you participated in it. You wouldn't know about giving unless you start to give. You wouldn't know you've got that gift. So you have to try things. So, you know, that's one word of warning about whether or not you can know your gifts. So Tim Keller actually says, you can't accurately say, yes, I've got this one, not got this one. He says, what you can do, if we bring up the next slide, is you can know we all tend to favor or be better at one of these three broad areas of gift. So he says that, you know, broadly they come into prophet, priest, and king. And we tend to be better at one of those broad areas of gifts. So a prophet would be somebody who's really strong at applying biblical truth to today, boldly proclaiming that. So I think at the moment, the current Archbishop of Canterbury is doing an amazing job at being a prophet. He is applying biblical truth to today in the world of finance, but also in the church, around bringing back the church to a confidence in the gospel. So you may have a gift, you know, or gifts of the Spirit that put you in that prophet category. You might have gifts that put you in the priest category, which is more about shepherding the flock, looking after the church, making sure everybody's included, making sure they're built up and involved and cared for. Or you might have the gift of the king, and the gift of the king is one of organizing, of providing, of stewarding resources and finances. So, you know, do the questionnaire. It will give you an idea of some gifts you might have. And then think about, do you have one or more of those? You know, do you have a tendency in one or more of those three areas? So that's the first thing. You can know, with some imperfection, but you can know what your spiritual gifts might be. Number two is, I think the passage suggests that you should grow in these gifts, so that you should get better at using them. Now, I hinted earlier that over time, sometimes the church hasn't used these gifts well. I think we could all think of times when the church has, in fact, abused some of these gifts. So abused leadership and authority, or abused healing, you know, so with bad results for people. But that doesn't mean, to quote David Watson, misuse of these gifts shouldn't result in disuse. It should result in right use. So just because we might sometimes, and it will happen, sometimes we might get some of these gifts wrong, you know, tongues, the kind of chaotic nature sometimes of charismatic stuff, misuse of gifts shouldn't result in disuse. It should result in right use. And actually elsewhere in Corinthians, you know, Paul encourages us to eagerly desire all the spiritual gifts. So we want these gifts and we want to grow in them. So if you want to grow in them, the first thing you've got to do is overcome the lives of the devil. So I asked you the question, what do you think stops you using spiritual gifts and what might help you using them? I was amazed in one meeting I was in recently with a very, very able lady who said that she looked around and said, you know, she couldn't see she could bring anything to this church because everybody else seemed so gifted. So there is one lie of just thinking that the devil will say to you that you've got nothing to bring. And I really strongly hold there's a lot of people here who I think, you know, that we've got the Jonathans, and you know, if you haven't got the spiritual gift of being called Jonathan, then you're unlikely to be, you know, doing much for the church, because the worship leader's called Jonathan, the vicar's called Jonathan. I'm changing my name to Jonathan just to get in on it. But that you don't have anything to bring. And actually, there are spiritual gifts you have that are lying dormant because you haven't given them a try. You haven't got out there and tried some of the gifts God's given you. So I want to stir that up in you. And because the devil will tell you that other people are better at things than you are. And he'll play on your fear of failure, that you could have a go at something and it won't work out well for you. So God does want you to grow in these things and to give you a try. So if we're saying the answer to misuse is not disuse, not using them at all, but right use, how do you get right use? Well, I think it's three things. I'd like you to answer three questions about yourself. And if you can answer all three of these questions, the bit in the middle, I'd suggest, is your ministry, your purpose, the thing you're uniquely called to do. And actually, you know, if I have heard a lot of people talking about how it's difficult to connect and find community in church. I think finding the right use of your spiritual gift, will help you find community in the right place in church. So I'd like you to do that by doing, and this you could do in your home groups, with friends, whatever. But to first of all ask yourself, what moves you? What needs resonate? Do you resonate to? You know, what sort of things really motivate you? When you see a need, you see a cause, you think, that really does get me going. So that's question one in the top left. What moves you? That's your affinity. The next is, what ability do you have? So what are you good at? What do you tend to succeed at? What do you enjoy doing? And then the third one is, what does the community want? What opportunity is there? So what does the church say it needs? So, you know, for me, if I think about this, what moves me, it does move me when I see young people, you know, teenagers particularly, without friends, alone, without a place to go, and not being grown and developed. I find that very sad. I know that's just not what God wants. So then I start thinking, okay, so that moves me. What am I good at? Well, I have a very good table tennis backhand. So I'm thinking, can I combine young people and table tennis? And I've tended to succeed in that, especially against my small children, which does build up my ego. So, you know, I'm quite good at just spending time, you know. Now, but sometimes, I must admit, I can look at that and think, I'll look at Darius, who really is a wonderful tennis player, and he is very, very good with teenagers. So there's a bit of me could think, well, I'm good at it, but I'm not as good as him. And you know, the truth is, that is true. I'm good at it. I'm not as good as table tennis as him. I'm also not as good as young people with him as him. But I'm still good at it. And God still uses it. And then finally, does the community want it? Does the church? Well, the church runs something on Friday night called Alive, where we have a bunch of young non-church kids, teenagers who come in, and they want to play table tennis, so they want to hang out with us and talk. So all of those help me find in the middle a ministry I can do, which is working with young people. So think about what those same things are for you. So that can help you find how you might grow in all of those things. And then third and finally, that there is an element whereby you need to flow in these things. And I think when I look at that list of spiritual gifts, it's very easy to think I ought to be doing all of them. That there's a kind of legalistic part of me that thinks, yeah, I should be serving. You know, yeah, I should have the gift of prophecy. I should be a better prayer. You know, I should be leading more. I should be taking more responsibility. And there's a lot of shoulds and oughts that very quickly come in, that very quickly we can buy into as Christians. And there is, you know, spiritual gifts. You will flow in the use of these things. You know, that's how God will use you in them. And I should also say that what will help you flow in them, it's no coincidence that the passage we're looking at, 1 Corinthians 12, and then the next passage on gifts is in 1 Corinthians 14. That in between, you all know what's in 1 Corinthians 13, is a great passage about love. And the other thing about using spiritual gifts and about flowing in the use of spiritual gifts, and it is no coincidence the 1 Corinthians 13 is there, is that we're to use them in love. That's, and if your focus is just on what are my gifts and how can I use them, then you can end up with misuse. If your focus is on loving people and helping people, if your focus is on serving others and on good personal character and godliness, you will end up using your spiritual gifts. It will simply be the outworking of who God has made you to be if you focus on that. So, you know, they need to be used in a context of love and a context of community, and then they will flow out. I read somebody who'd said who'd said about spiritual gifts that they are actually the living movements of Christ's body today. Spiritual gifts are the living movements of Christ's body today. So you have the opportunity through stepping out in using some of these gifts to be Christ alive today. I did when I said that, when I said Christ is alive and he's here amongst the middle of us to the alive lot, to the young people who don't come to this bit of church on Friday night, they said, "You are bonkers and we should wrap you up in a straitjacket," which I love about young people. But actually, spiritual gifts are Christ alive and moving in the world today when you use them. So I don't know if also, as you hear that, you do think, well, just a second, then I don't, all these things, prophecy, prayer, giving, I don't recognize spiritual gifts. And if really, if none of that is resonating with you, I might suggest to you that you don't know Jesus. You only get spiritual gifts, and it is, you become a different person. I mean, I should say, you know, I've got friends who, you know, one of whom for a long time was out in Brazil building an orphanage. And I could not see what that guy was going to do with his life. I mean, he was quite a force to be reckoned with as an individual. But becoming a Christian changed him dramatically and enabled him to use certain gifts that meant he ended up a quite a different person doing that. So, you know, when you flow in these gifts, it can take you to a very different place and change you as a person. So if that doesn't resonate with you at all, I might suggest that you don't know Jesus and you haven't got the Holy Spirit. So ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Ask to know Jesus. And then from that, when you get the Holy Spirit, you get spiritual gifts and you'll find you start doing different things. You become a different person. Can we get the panel back up and see if you have any questions you'd like to ask? I'm slightly scared here because obviously I prepared everything I was going to say up until now. And now if they ask something, my genuine biblical knowledge is quite thin. So we should be starting worship pretty soon, Jonathan. We'll ask some good questions. We won't get many answers. Questions are, we see through a glass darkly. Have we got that mic back as well? Here we go. Is that it? There we go, and it's already on. It's not that you have to answer the first one, you're just in the middle. So you heard that about spiritual gifts. Given where you started, some of you saying you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, did that make you think any differently?
I think what was said about, you know, sometimes temptation doesn't let us use spiritual gifts, don't let them flow, I think that was very good. And I think that we almost have to be consciously conscious of engaging the gifts we've got, because it won't just naturally come, because the devil will try and discourage us from doing it.
One of the things that it prodded me about was... It reminded me of a fantastic group of guys that I knew at a church I was at in Bristol once. So just up from the church was a dry house where a group of about 20 recovering alcoholics lived. And one of them, one day, one of them strolled into the church. And then another more came and more came and more came. And these guys were just absolutely amazing. So, you know, recovering from what was obviously, anyone's had an experience of alcoholism is, you know, an incredibly difficult affliction. And so in terms of gifts, these guys were incredible servants. They had the most amazing gift of hospitality, and they would just get involved in everything, serving coffee and making sure the church was clean and tidy, and all off their own back completely. And it just, the thing that they said is that for them, they'd lived a life where alcoholism is such a, you know, it can lead to such selfish and sort of inward behaviors. For them, doing the exact opposite, the experience that they'd had had given them an opportunity, I guess, to grow in a gift, and it was almost kind of coming out into freedom from where they'd been before. So, the reason I think that's relevant is because I immediately, when I think of gifts, I think, what was I born with? But actually, it's not just that; it's also what, you know, the Lord can use the experiences that you've had in life, and actually can grow gifts out of those.
Winnie, you said something to me beforehand. Can you say that? Well, you can say whatever you're going to say, but then I would ask you to say that again.
Okay. For me, I think the question that comes from it, like, how do I discover or how do I know the gift that I have or how do I use them? I've always had them, but I didn't know whether it was a gift or not, or just feeling that I need to do that until a few years ago when I allowed myself to have a relationship with God. Then things started falling into places, and sometimes I do give myself or I give my time, and there are times that it's gotten me into trouble, but still, it doesn't stop me, and I keep giving and giving, and wondering, why do I do that? And I'm not getting any good thing out of it. But when I started having a relationship with God, it became so clear that it's not just my will of doing it, but it's what God is asking of me to do. So I guess when you have a relationship with God, or when you open yourself to invite God into your life, we all have gifts, and to be able to find them out, God open your eyes for you to use your gift. And I guess if you don't use them right, he can also take it away from you. Yes. One thing that worries me of comes to mind is, why are we not using the gift that the youth have in the church or in the community? Why don't we allow the youth in the church to take part or take a leading role in some of the things in the church? For instance, today would have been nice if a youth was preaching, but not you. Not that I'm not enjoying what you're doing.
That's what she said to me before we kicked off. So, go on, Josh.
The thing that struck me from your sermon maybe is, how is the youth, since we're a different generation, I think it's harder for us to find or know what our spiritual gifts are. How can we use them, and how can we find them in like the turbulent life that we live?
Okay, and Mike?
Yeah, I think one of the things we're all called to do is encourage other people. Encourage other people when we see them using their gifts properly. And maybe that will help the young people. For example, or I know it helps me, you know, is we all have a role, which is to encourage other people to use the gifts that they're good at.
Yeah.
And we could all go up to somebody today
and
encourage them to use something that we've seen that's good in them, that looks like the Spirit working out. And I think the other point about, you know, the point you made about community needs it, what the community needs is encouragement. There's enough discouragement out there.
Yeah.
And the devil's trying to take away our courage and discourage us. And I think the community is up to us to encourage each other.
Mm. So, Jackson and Josh, what would encourage you to use your gifts? How could we encourage you to use your gift? What stops? You know, taking Winnie's point about it would have been great to have had. And interestingly, I read in Thessalonians, there was an argument between the leaders of the church and actually young people about the role of young people. That's part of what that letter's about. So it's a biblical thing if we have an argument about you wanting to influence church more and take more of a leadership role in church. You know, that's what we'd like to see. Jonathan would love that. A good argument. I love a good argument. So, but what would help the youth use their spiritual gifts more in church?
Maybe if they were to like step out of their comfort zone in places and step out about what they believe.
What a great answer. Phew, that is a great answer. Josh?
Three things, I think. What Jackson said, make them step out of their comfort zone. Helping the youth, or them in particular, find their spiritual gifts, because you have to find it before you can use it. And then thirdly, probably make maybe the stuff that goes on in church more relatable to the youth. Like, right now, they look tired, and I'm not even paying attention. But, yeah, so like, make it relatable.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, anybody, any other questions or comments? Oh my word, Ashley, did we say it was a open forum? Oh, Ashley likes church being more interactive. Go on.
why are we bound to an arbitrary list written thousands of years ago about spiritual gifts? Like, like he couldn't account for modern times, so.
We did have one creative, open-ended one, but I agree that I think those were the gifts of the time. And in fact, I've been struck, you may well have gifts with technology, I think we had that discussion, that clearly couldn't have been written down. We might put them under administration, or, but it doesn't do it justice. So I think there's many gifts people might have in the church in modern times that wouldn't have been covered then.
Is the list intentionally vague?
Is the list I put up intentionally vague?
Or the one in the Bible, because, you know, speaking in tongues, like, what is that? Is that speaking different languages, or is that, like, collapsing on the floor?
We're not going to do that now, but if you'd like to go along, though I do believe in speaking in tongues, but let's not try and answer that now, because we are going to get into worship. You're going to have to give me that mic back, because this could get out. Oh, my word! So we'll... Are you going to answer the question, Jonathan, or are you...
No.
No, all right. We're going to go back to worship. So, well, I think we might go back to worship now. Great. So, I think we're going to... Thank you very much, everybody.